For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And welcome to Season 4, Episode Number 5. And it's December. And hopefully December is as good as November was for our Leafs. But it was a great November for us. But we want to start off today. I just want to thank everyone for voting for me for the Ultimate MVP contest by the which was run by the Upper Deck Hockey team. Unfortunately, I didn't make it. I came in second, but I want to thank all the social media followers for voting, and congratulations to Glendon McCauley, who did get first place and being named the Maple Leafs MVP. So if you are on Twitter and you're listening, just go to @UpperDeckHockey and look for his photo and like it to cast your vote for Glendon McCauley, because we support Leafs Nation. We want we want him to become the ultimate MVP, which is actually winning a trip to the Stanley Cup final. So that would be pretty cool. And hopefully our Leafs will be there too.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah.
That's so awesome. He made it to the next round. So yeah, everybody get out and vote.
Yeah.
And now we are on to some sad news. As everyone knows, Boris Salming unfortunately passed away this past week. And we want to send our condolences to his family and friends. And it's very bittersweet, the fact that it happened so quickly after his visit for the Hall of Fame weekend. But I think that was a blessing for him and his family and for his friends, and also for all of us fans to be able to say goodbye in person.
Yeah, I know, definitely that's the case. And I thought it was great of Maple Leafs organization to come up with that patch that they wore on the Friday, was the first time, I guess, versus Minnesota against the Wild. And it was really cool to have the leaf and then the crown at the top for the king, which is what he was known as when he was in his playing days. And you can go out and support ALS if you buy the patch online at Real Sports Apparel. If you go online, you can buy the patch there. But it's a sad thing. I went down there. I guess I put it on social media anyways. I just had this feeling that I needed to go down there at Legends Row and put the flowers there and just pay respects, because he was a great Leaf, a Leaf legend. So condolences to his family and friends. And then moving on now to what I said earlier about the great month of November that our current Leafs just had. And we're just going to run through some stats here as to what's gone on for the month of November. So Austin Matthews now has goals in consecutive games and 270 in his career. He's only one U.S.-born skater in NHL history has scored more at the age of 25 or younger. That was Pat LaFontaine, 280 goals in 512 games played. And
Austin's only played 431.
Yeah, so Austin has 270 goals and 431 games played. So yeah, that's huge. He's definitely. I would be a little bit concerned, like, once the international hockey starts up, like, to have that American team is going to be pretty good with him. Yeah. And then, of course, our captain, John Tavares, has been fantastic this season. Really, he's been so impressive. His first period assist was his first period assist in the game versus, I believe it was New Jersey. I think it was. I didn't put that down here. I'm missing that point. Apologize. But it was his 300th point as a Maple Leaf. He's the 40th player in franchise history to reach the 300 point mark. So that's captain consistency there.
That's for sure. And of course, the month would not be complete if we did not mention Mitch Marner, who is on a heater, getting a couple of goals versus Tampa and extending his point streak to 19 games, which is now a Leaf franchise record. And then, of course, we also are going to look a little bit at the goaltending, which, considering how worried we all were, right now it's looking pretty good. So Ilya Samsonov and Matt Murray in November. Samsonov didn't play as many games, but he's got a 3-0 record, 1.51 goals against and a .937 save percentage. And Murray is 5-0-1, 2.17 goals against and a .938 save percentage. And both of those markers are well above the league average. And I think if anybody was watching Hockey Night in Canada, I think most people know that there's quite a lot of goaltending woes in the NHL at the moment. And yeah, our goaltenders are doing pretty darn great right now.
Yeah.
So the Leafs, 25 points also in November. So 11-1-3 record were the most that they have ever earned in a single calendar month.
So you can't get much better than all that. That's for sure. Yeah. And the goaltending, I mean, Samsonov was injured and he just came back to play the one game versus, who was it again? My memory's
going. I think it was New Jersey.
Was it New Jersey?
Who did we play on Wednesday?
I don't know. We'll have to look it up. But anyways, he's played one game and he played well that game.
Maybe it wasn't New Jersey.
And, and then Murray's been really good since coming back from injury. So
a little bit of a stumble yesterday
in the OT. Yeah. But he's been really good. And one other thing.
Oh no, that game was San Jose.
Oh, was it San? Okay, yes, yeah. On the Thursday, right? Yeah. No, he played really well coming back in the first game. So, and one other thing to mention. Not really to do with stats or anything, but it's kind of funny how the issue with the D, with the defense and the injuries, and how we picked up that Connor Timmins from Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and then it's like, apparently, I guess things have been going well, thankfully, when it comes to the defense. And Sheldon Keefe apparently said that he didn't know enough about him yet to actually, let's say, give him a spot in the lineup or to try him out. So,
well, I guess especially with defense, when they come in, there's a lot more with regards to systems. That is really the foundation of play that they probably need to make sure he has down. So my guess is maybe it's something to do with that. I remember when they got Galchenyuk back a few years ago. It took a long time for them to put him in the lineup as well, because they really wanted to make sure that he was up to speed, and that was in a forward role. So I guess that is probably what it has to do with, and especially given the fact that we don't have a lot of veteran support when it comes to the D right now. That's probably why they're maybe taking their time getting him in.
I think it's a depth thing with Connor Timmins too, at least. And he has that Sioux connection that we spoke about on our last show a little bit. So, yeah. So I overall, though, November was really good, and we're going to get into it some more here.
That's right. So let's talk more about that great month and what's coming up for the Blue and White. And we're going to start that off with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And in our third period segment, we have a very special guest, Maria Siracusa Quinto, who is the author of a series of books for kids called There Once Was a Girl, which brings to life the true story of Canadian women's hockey heroes. So stay tuned for that. And also, Be sure to stick around to the end of the show because we will be announcing the details of our annual Christmas giveaway and how you can win a pretty special prize. So you don't want to miss that.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Good, the bad, the ugly. Always one of our best segments. Love this one. All right. We're going with the good. I'm going with Austin Matthews, AM34, because nobody's been talking about him, or most people are keep saying that there's been something wrong with him. And I do think he had some issue, but I think as of that game versus Pittsburgh, where he had a 3-point night on the Saturday night, I think he's turned it around, and I think playing with Willie too has kind of changed things up for him a little bit, because I don't know, I just think that connection has come up, and Bunting as well has started to play better too and played a better role. But I just think that combination, the fact that I think he's happy that Marner finally got the franchise record and he tied the record. It's kind of funny because it's like it's what he did last year with getting the 50 goals or the 54 goals. Mm-hmm. And now it's almost like he feels so much better that Marner got like his franchise record too. And so mm-hmm. now they can just play. And he's been fantastic the last few games. I think he has 12 goals, 16 assists, 28 points in 26 games. He has 13 points in his last 10 games, and he has 4 multi-point games over the season. So I just think he's doing it a little bit quieter. Let's just say, right?
Well,
I mean,
yeah. And the thing that I really like is that he's kind of taking on more the playmaker, passer role. Yeah. And that's, you know, like we always talk about is what's he going to add to his game. And I think maybe it's the assists this year. You know, he's kind of got a more balanced game happening. He's got that good 200-foot game. You know, so he's had his accolades and maybe he's, you know, ready to step back and make his teammates better.
Yeah. And I also thought it was funny, though, with Mitch when he got the empty net goal. Mm-hmm. It was just like, and he tried to pass off to Bunting and he's like, man, what are you doing? He's like, just shoot the puck in the net and let's go home sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Just, I thought that was hilarious. And I love the team celebration after that. But no, I just think that we need to – I wanted to give Austin Matthews some love from us because a lot of people – I mean, he might not – personally, I think now he's going to go on a heater because the shot seems to be back and just – his celebrations too after he scores, like it's just he seems to be back himself that way. So
well, I personally don't mind that he's not in the limelight because there's another time of year where I want to see him in the limelight, and he's doing it a little differently this year, so maybe that means that there'll be something different in the spring too.
Saving it for when it counts the most.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
All right.
So now my good, and I have to say, I'm going to qualify this by saying I almost changed my mind after last night's game because we're recording on the Sunday, December 4th. So we're coming off the game against Tampa. And but I still decided to go with Matt Murray. And of course, we went over the stats earlier on. And even, you know, with his full year stats, he is still, again, well over the league average at 921 with a 2.63 goals against. So that's still pretty darn good, considering he's had like at least two games where he's let in four goals. So like the first one and this last one. And
yeah, he definitely he saved us in those games versus the Devils and in New Jersey and the one in Minnesota.
Yeah,
he was the star in both of those games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. And he's looked so like positionally sound, calm, like. I didn't realize, you know, seeing him play versus seeing, like, remembering how Campbell played, how much more, like, frenetic Campbell was in net. And he was exciting and a guy that you wanted to root for and all of that. But there's just, like, I don't know, it's such a calming presence. And I think both of our goaltenders have been so cool, calm, and collected back there. And they know what they're doing and you can tell. And so, you know, we obviously are hopeful that this is, you know, going to continue guaranteed because this is the Leafs. There's going to be some more ups and downs. But for now, I have to give him credit because for all the talking that was done, he seems to have managed to, you know, keep that stuff out of his head and just go and do what he said he was going to do all training camp, take it one game at a time and just do his best each game.
Yeah. And it's great. His dad, he said, he mentioned before that his dad was a huge Leaf fan. So he's looking down on him, like you said, and very proud of him wearing the Leaf uniform. And he's actually his record. I guess he came back versus the Penguins on November the 15th and he's 7-0-2. In that time frame, and I thought it was great when he gave the belt to David Kampf after the game versus Buffalo, like because that game, like I think Willie scored, JT scored, like it was all about the big time players. But at the end of after the game, he gave the belt to David Kampf because he was on the penalty kill. He saved a goal, or he got it out, got the puck out of the zone, and he credited him for that effort that he gives every night. So I thought that was kind of cool coming from a former Stanley Cup champion. He knows how to win,
and
right?
Smart too,
yeah.
Because by basically pointing out the defensive prowess,
right?
You know. That actually could probably go a long way in the room with, you know, encouraging that in other players too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's switch to the bad.
All right.
Not a lot of bad. So we kind of had to reach a little bit, but.
Yeah. My bad is actually Nick Robertson. Now it's not for his play because obviously he hasn't played a lot. But. Just the whole, it's just like, what do we got in this player? And I hope now that he's, I guess with Kalyan Croak out now, he's going to get the chance to play on a nightly basis. And it's like, I just want him to show something as to if he's scoring, that's fine. Like if he's like the way he played with the Peterborough Petes and he was like the record setting, goal scorer there. But I just want to know what we have, the consistency, I guess I want to see in him to say, what do we have in this player? Because there's a lot of hype and I actually kind of feel bad for him because his brother is doing so well in Dallas, right? And
But then that just brings to mind to me though, that maybe we don't want to give up on this guy too soon either because last year, his brother started to, you know, really pour it on, but people thought maybe this is just like a one-off, but he's really, since getting the contract, he's like, you know, kept going with it and he's piling it on. But the thing is he wasn't an overnight success either. So
no. And that's what I think he actually, Nick Robertson mentioned that, to the media, to one of the media members, that he's been in touch obviously with his brother, and his brother just said, you know, like the first year or so with Dallas, like it was kind of like he was in the same predicament sort of, right? Mm-hmm. So he's just like, you know, stick with it, work through it. It's going to happen. So I think it's both from the player side and the coaching side too. Cause I don't know, just Keith, I looked up the stats, I guess, the last couple of games that he's played now since Yarncroke's been out. And he's It's pretty fair. He's just played over 13 minutes a night in both games, right? And he has versus Tampa, he had 2 minutes and 36 seconds on the power play. And then he had, versus the Sharks, he had a minute and 30 in the power play. But that's why I'm thinking, like, if you're going to be an offensive threat, like on the power play, you got to get him out there more, really. Like, Keefe has to somehow give him that, give him that opportunity to show it, and he's going to have at least a couple of weeks anyways. But that's basically, it's not really, it's kind of bad, but it's not so bad, right? It's just trying to figure out where this player is as a young player and hoping that he can get through it and become an actual player for us.
I think he somehow has to find that fine line between giving the coach what the coach wants and still being true to yourself, you know, like, and I think as a young player, I think that maybe takes some time to figure out, you know, because if you do everything the coach says, sometimes that can really take you off your own personal game and what you know is the way you play. But then if you do only what you think you want to do, then that's also not good. So he's got to find that balance. But I agree, like, he's not going to do that by sitting on the bench or being up in the press box. So he has to play, and this is going to give him the opportunity.
Yeah. And the other thing I guess he did last night, before we move on to your bet, when he didn't get the icing on that play versus Tampa, like towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
And he didn't get to center to not ice the puck, basically. And then they didn't score on that play, thankfully. Otherwise,
that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. You've got to give the coach a little something to let him know that you are paying attention. Now, if you do those small little things, then he's going to give you more rope. Yeah. So he's going to have to.
It was funny. I thought he made the red line, but he was a step away from the red line. So it's like, you've got to, the kid has to get to that red line and get past it. Like,
and there's really no excuse with him, because we know the guy can hustle. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's your bad? So my bad, like, as again, he was like, you know, really pulling straws, but I'm going to go back to my usual whipping boy. And I basically am singling out Pierre Engvall, mostly because he was such all talk at the beginning when he signed his contract, and all about that. I'm sure I can get 20 goals. Well, the guy is sitting at 3 right now, and he has a grand total of 6 points. And our third line, I think we can all agree, like, even though I think they've moved David Camp up there now, because Pontus Holmberg's really doing a great job stepping in as a young player. So they felt comfortable moving Camp up, but our third line is still kind of our missing ingredient. Considering how they were such a dominating line last year, right now they're not doing so great. Kerfoot is another one that could have made this list, but I'm Engvall, with his size and his speed, he should be getting to pucks and he should be making plays and he should be burying them. Now, he did get a goal this week, I think, again, in that San Jose game.
Yeah, you got the winner.
The game winner. Actually. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, but to me, that's not even enough. It's not enough.
No.
Because you got to do that on a nightly basis, and you've got to be doing a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it's going to take for him to, I guess, to bring more every night, or to give more every night. I don't know what's the only thing is, possibly sitting him out, but they're not going to do that.
No.
And because again, like, just having him there in the lineup, it makes a difference, but it's just that we know that he has so much more to give. Like, we've seen it in games, and he just doesn't do it on a consistent basis. So yeah, we're not going to spend too much time on Pierre, because that's just the way it's been this past season for him. And, but at least we don't have Justin Hall. Justin Hall, that's a different story altogether. That's a different He's been different. That's for sure. So we won't get in. We won't get into that.
We could be giving him a lot of credit right now, but we're not going to get too much into the D today.
Yeah.
So instead, we'll transition to our ugly, which we thought we weren't going to have one because things were going so swimmingly. But lo and behold, at the end of last night's game, what happened again? Yeah. We blew it in 3-on-3 overtime, and that definitely, I think, has been ugly of late. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, well, I actually went back and I made it worse for myself, actually, as I went back through these games. So versus Vegas, that was the game here. We lost 23 seconds into overtime. They scored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other part, is they're all within the first minute, which
versus brutal. It all started actually versus the Sharks back on that horrific road trip in the West Coast. The Sharks, it was Carlson that scored 57 seconds into overtime. Mm-hmm. And then the Devils, it was a minute and 57 seconds that we lost in overtime. And the Islanders here at home, we lost a minute 56 into overtime. And then, of course, last night versus Tampa, we lost 33 seconds into overtime. So we're not even getting to like the halfway point of overtime. That's the concerning part here. And it's like, and it always, I mean, yesterday, yes, Matt Murray, probably he should have had that one. And like, it wasn't good.
No, but still, Matthews shouldn't have given it away.
That's the thing. All of these games, from what I recall, all these overtime winners were based on turnovers.
Yeah. Like for a puck possession team, possess the puck.
Yeah.
Don't let the other team get it off of you, and don't make dumb passes when there's not a good lane there. I don't know.
Or like pay attention, like when they're passing, it seems like they're passing it to nobody, which is the other team. Like they're just dropping it back. Their famous thing that they always do on the power play, they're doing in 3-on-3 and dropping it back. And that person, the pass is either not tape to tape or that guy is not there. So I don't know what Matthews was thinking yesterday. Maybe he thought Riley was back there. I don't know, because Mitch was in front of him. So I don't know what it was, but it's interesting what you were mentioning. I was thinking maybe change it up to start, because obviously normally Matthews and Marner have been starting now with Riley
injured.
But
one of the ones was actually Tavares, and he made a big flub, and I can't remember which game that was.
Yes, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But
couldn't you know, beat the guy down. So
yeah,
I think it must have been the San Jose game. I think that was the one that Carlson scored.
I think it was in that one, yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah, but I don't know. They have to fix it, though. Marner said it last night afterwards, too. Like, it's just like something that's just, it's again become repetitive for
it. What I don't understand, though, is they were dominant at this.
I know.
Like, for how many years? Yeah, honestly, last year, nobody wanted to get in an overtime situation like this against us. It never went to a shootout because we always won.
Yeah.
So, and they were just totally dominant. And I don't know what has happened. Like, it's just, I don't know.
It's ugly.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It is. And I hope that they don't, have too many. At least, actually, the good thing is it's not 3-on-3 in the playoffs. So.
Yes, that's true.
So that's a good thing. But yeah, no, they still, these points matter, though, these extra points when it comes down to the end of the season. So they got to figure it out. But yeah.
Although I do know, though, that, you know, there were, like, I remember, I think it was Boston last year, basically made it in based on all of these types of points. So sometimes it can help you.
Yeah.
But we're wanting to, you know, track down the division lead, then we need
to get the extra points. I mean, it's good to get the loser point, but you want to get both.
I personally want to see, like, Willie is the overtime specialist, really. Even in practice, he's the one that's been scoring, and the fact that he has not been put out on the first shift, I don't understand. And I personally want to see Willie, Austin, and Mitch. Because Mitch is basically like a de facto playmaking offensive defenseman. So he's
has the speed. He can get back, right?
I don't know why they don't just load it up. Get some confidence back. Anyway, that's just my opinion.
We'll see. Sheldon Keefe gets paid the big bucks, like I said last night. So he'll have to make this decision. So we're going to move on, though, to our highlight reel. There's lots to choose from in the past little while. But we did manage to pick out our top three of the past few weeks. So let's roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
Okay, so coming in at number three, we have Michael Bunting with another assist highlight from the game versus the Penguins, where he was flat on the ice and still got the pass over to AM34, who ripped the shot past Casey DeSmith.
Yeah, yes, so
that was a great game for him.
Yes, that was a great game, and he's back. Scarborough is back to chirping again and bothering everybody.
I loved him in the penalty box yesterday, going back and forth. I think against it was Chernak, I guess.
Yeah,
and him going back and forth,
and he was still doing it after he got out of the box. He was going over to the bench and everything. That's just the way he is. But he's contributing on the ice too with that assist. It was incredible, the fact that he's obviously not a huge skilled player, but to actually make that effort that he gave, where he was flat on the ice and he still managed to get it over to Matthews in that game versus the Penguins, which I think personally got Matthews going, I guess, and having the multi-point game, that was great.
Yeah, we need to have Michael Bunting doing Michael Bunting things. And as long as that's happening, then we know things are good.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, number two. We probably could have made this whole show about this guy, Mitch Marner versus the Devils, when he assisted on Tavares' goal, beating three Devils players out of the corner to get it to Tavares for the goal. Like, that was incredible to see. I mean, obviously, it was incredible when he tied the franchise record for 18 games with a point, and then getting the 19 games with a point last night versus Tampa. But he's on a heater right now. It's just, it's unbelievable. Like last night, he had the two goals,
of them is the shorty too.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think now the opposing teams, they're starting to see, okay, this guy, he's not just the playmaker. Yes, that's what he is, mostly bread and butter playmaker, but he's actually showing the shot now too, and he's beating Vasilevsky. Like, that's that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And but throughout this, it's just great, because I know we talked about it in a show in October, how somebody with the trade stuff and all that, and trading him for a bag of pucks and all this nonsense. And it's where are those people now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It's pretty quiet on the Marner bashing front these days.
Yeah. Right. That's just insane. Those people, they're not true Leaf fans, really, when they say things like that. And
no, because it's not just about the winning. I mean, obviously we all want to win, but the players we have right now are just so special and exceptional and really a joy to watch. And you need to really, cherish that, because
And he loves being a Leaf, right? We said it before, he cares too much. That's why at the beginning of the season, when he was struggling, him, Austin, Willie, they all care. They want to do their best and get better each and every game. And it's just, obviously, it doesn't happen for 82 games. Right? Mm-hmm. So Mitch is right now, he is on fire, and we'll see how long he keeps going with this streak. Yeah. Should be interesting.
Yeah, hopefully he can climb up there a little closer to Patty Kane at 26. Let's see how far he goes.
Yeah.
All right, so our number one highlight, for some sad reasons, is Boreas Salming, and moreover, the way the organization handled, celebrating him, and it was almost like a celebration of life while he was still with us. And, the way they got the idea of doing the Borea patch, like we talked about, he's a Leaf legend for 16 seasons and a pioneer of the game. So he more than deserves to take the number one spot on this edition of the highlight reel, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought it was it's kind of interesting. I guess the game before we found out that he passed, and that was versus the Devils. Pontus Holmberg scored the game-winning goal, which was his first goal of his first NHL goal. And then Keith pointed out afterwards, like, the final score of that game versus the Devils was 2-1, mm-hmm. right? And obviously, we know Boreas Salming's number was 21. And then when the team found out that Salming had passed, which was on the Friday, the game versus the Minnesota Wild, Willie scored, Nylander scored the game-winning goal. So it's mm-hmm. just interesting with that connection with all the Swedes that we have on our team and how they really, I guess it hit them too, sort of thing, because he was a pioneer of the game, and not just for Swedes, but even for Europeans in general.
Yeah, and he was definitely a mentor for these guys when they were young and coming up, even for a guy like Matt Sundin, you know? So he's very held a special place in the organization, but he's been there. He's been a support person. He's there every year. Like he is really, considering he's a European and not born and raised here, he is a quintessential Leaf. You know, he loved being a Leaf, and he wore that blue and white with pride. Till his last day.
I mean, we always saw him every season. He came mm-hmm. once a year, and he is what it means to be a Maple Leaf was Boreas Salming. He's a
That's
legend,
right.
And and so we definitely wanted him to be on our number one spot on the highlight reel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when it comes to pioneers of hockey, there are also a few women hockey players who have grown the game and are true heroes of the sport. And for our third period segment, we have a very special guest, Maria Siracusa Quinto, who is the author of a series of children books called There Once Was a Girl. And she joined us to talk about her books and her experiences in women's hockey. We are pleased to welcome Maria Siracusa Quinto to the third period. So Maria is the author of a series of books for kids colorfully illustrated by Kelly Marie McConkie called There Once Was a Girl, bringing to life the story of Canadian women's hockey heroes.
Yeah, Maria was a manager on youth minor hockey teams for 23 years. And in response to the Canadian women's national hockey team making its first appearance at the Olympics in 1998, she was recruited to be the team manager of the Toronto Arrows senior women's hockey team. The team competed throughout Canada and the USA for 15 years under her management, with many of the players making it onto the Canadian national women's team's roster. Welcome to our show, Maria.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and I'm very excited to be on.
Well, we are so excited to have you. I think I might have botched your name a little bit in the pronunciation.
That's okay.
Anyway, so let's get started. We have a few questions for you, Maria, and then we're going to do a short Q&A to finish up. Are you ready to get going?
Ready when you are.
All right.
Hey, great. Okay, so to start us off, if you could please let us and our listeners know why you decided to do this children's book series.
So I managed the Arrows, as you mentioned, which is the team that Team Canada comes to every 4 years and steals the players away. And then they go out west for an entire year, and then they go off to the Olympics. So I had the honor of knowing all of these wonderful, amazing athletes. One of them being Angela James, the first young lady that I wrote about, who is the first woman inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And then secondly, Geraldine Heaney, who is another inductee. But they were on the team that I was managing. And after the 15 years of managing, I wanted to contribute. I wanted little children to know about female hockey history, because I think it's extremely important. So I decided, and I wrote my first book. And that's how we got started. And I'm now presently working on book three.
Okay, so that's actually really amazing. And like, as you said, it's super important that, like, we talk a lot about, you know, when the history of the game, mostly with regards to the men, but the Canadian women have had such a huge impact, and we don't know that much about those players. So the fact that you are doing this, that's pretty incredible. So as you mentioned, your first two books were about Hall of Famers Angela James and Geraldine Heaney.
Yes.
Was there any message that either player wanted you to convey through their individual stories within the books?
So this is the way I do my process is, first of all, I ask permission. And once I've been given that permission, I basically interview them, and the interviews can go anywhere. And the first interview with Ange went 2 hours.
Wow.
And once I've asked a bunch of questions and they've told me a bunch of things and I record it, I let it sit for a while and I let it fester. And in a bit, the idea comes to me. So, for example, Angela James, during this two-hour interview, told me that she grew up in the projects, and that there was an outdoor rink, and there was a man who skated on the outdoor rink every day. And Ange got a pair of skates, and true story, she started to watch him skate. And it describes this in the book. And she followed him around and around and around. She tried to get his attention to no avail. And you'll see in the book when you read it that the man was actually deaf. He was a professional player on a deaf league in Toronto. And when Angela James was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, his daughter contacted her after Ange told this story to the reporters and said, "I think you were talking about my dad."
Wow.
So I took that and I ran with it. He's the guy who initially taught her how to skate. The man, a little bit of embellishment. I put a red hat on him. And when you see the book, you will see why, because it's a very unique way in which my amazing illustrator did the book. We talked about doing some grays and some reds. And as the story goes on and as the joy increases, there's more red in the book. So the saying in the book that Angela says all the time is that hockey made her heart happy. So the red heart, the pounding red heart, the colors got redder as the story went on, thus the man in the red hat.
Wow. So he was the original inspiration and her first teacher.
He taught
unbeknownst
her how
to him.
Skate. Yes, yeah. Unbeknownst to
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what about Geraldine? Were there any little nuggets from her story that made its way into her book?
So I was very, very close to Geraldine's family, to the Heaney family. I actually traveled to Salt Lake City with her sister, Catherine, who is no longer with us. And we went to Salt Lake City. But Geraldine was undecided whether she wanted to go to this final Olympic because she was getting up in her age. And so when she made the decision to go, we were all very excited. And she was training they were sent home during the Christmas break. And on New Year's Eve, her mom had a stroke. And she was unconscious. They didn't know whether she was going to come out of it or not. But Geraldine went after a few days, left the bedside and went to an exhibition game against the U.S. where she tore ligaments in her leg. So the story, it was just one thing after another. And basically the story about Geraldine, I've never met anyone who has more perseverance than this young lady. But the way the story goes is someone in the story, and I don't want to give it all away, tells her that even though she has this perseverance, that now she has to find courage. And so there's there's a little bit of history because it is meant for younger children.
Right.
You can't bog them down with too much, but there's always a lesson. There's something about the hockey player, but there's always a lesson.
So you mentioned the symbolism in the first book with the red hat. Is there kind of a thread that goes through Geraldine's book in a similar way?
Geraldine is Irish.
Okay.
Through and through.
Yes.
So there are lots of leprechauns and shamrocks. And very, very bright color, very, very different from the first book. This is full of color. And like I said, the shamrocks and the, anything that's traditionally Irish.
Excellent. So go ahead, Chris.
No, one question. I just want, what's the age range you would say just for our listeners in case they want to purchase books? What's the age range for the, for a child, let's say, if they were going to buy the book?
The first book, AJ's book, there it's geared more for younger children because there's a lot of repetition, which is what you do for children's books. So I would say that that goes anywhere from like 2 to 7, 8. Whereas Jerry's book, I would say, is more 5 to 9 or 10.
Okay, so a little bit older. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
But I do have a lot of adults that are big fans.
I was going to say, it sounds like that, you know, for any age group, there would be different things that would be picked up upon. So I think it's probably safe to say it's good for all ages, but
there's things in there that, for adults, for example, in Geraldine's book, when road hockey, when we played road hockey and everybody was on the road and the cars came by and we would yell out car and that would move the net and everything out of the way. And then you'd go back to playing. So I make references like that in the book to appeal to the grandparents and the parents that are reading it to the children.
Right. It's like that's the nostalgia, you know, that we all have with hockey, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. The next question we have actually is what impact do you hope these books will have on girls and young women pursuing the sport of hockey?
So I'd like to say, first of all, that I'd like this to have an impact on girls and boys, not only girls. I want the boys to see it. I want the boys. This is not a just girls, and it's not girls are better than boys, and it's not. It's to teach all children that and adults, as far as I'm concerned, that this is a wonderful sport. This is a sport that has saved me in my life alone many, many times. And if you let it, the sport and the camaraderie on a team is something like nothing else. I'm still connected to all of these girls, weddings, babies. unfortunately, when we lose someone, we all gather together. They were all in my backyard this summer, the Arrows team. We had a reunion after many, many years. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's a wonderful sport. It teaches children wonderful lessons. And I think it gives them the opportunity to know that they can do something and they can be successful and they can be happy while they're doing it.
Definitely. And I also think too, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's an opportunity to flesh out and really complete the history of the sport, because, you know, we focus a lot on the men's side. And of course, a lot of little girls grew up idolizing, you know, male players as well.
And me being one of them.
100%. And us too. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. So it sort of fleshes out and kind of completes the circle, I think. And like you said, and that's appropriate for boys and girls alike, and for anyone in particular, you know.
It's very sad to me, the lack of female hockey history that is available. And it's so rich. The hockey, female hockey history is so, so very rich. You look at people like Hazel McCallion.
I was just going to mention her.
My girl Hazel. She's a rock star. 101 years old, still working at the OWHA. She goes into the office every day. And I'm going to tell you a little secret.
Okay.
My third book that I'm working on is on Cassie Campbell. And Hazel McCallion is part of this story.
Wow. I just actually got a little bit of a tingle up my spine hearing that. That is exciting.
I'm very, very excited about this. I'm trying to finish the book. But, you know, there's things that we love to do, and then there's things that pay us to do. And
exactly.
So I have a full-time job, like, not unlike you ladies.
Yes.
And, you know, I do this, I'm off January, February, March, and that's when I concentrate on the writing. But unlike the other two, after I interviewed Cassie, I woke up in the middle of the night. It was 4 o'clock after I interviewed Cassie, and I came into my office, because there's a room that I write in with all my hockey stuff hanging up. And I came into my office and I actually started to write. I jotted down these ideas, the Hazel idea, and this is the way I want her to look. And this is about, you know, it was just, I was in a manic, like I've never had that with the other two books. This book is, every book is a different experience. Every book is a different process.
Well, that is that's actually really cool, and you gave us this scoop, so we love that. We love that.
Oh, and my illustrator is so good. She's, I think she's 22 now, because when I found her, she was 19 or 20. Never done illustrations for a book. I found her on Instagram. Because I had tried a few, because the vision is in my head. I know exactly what I want, except I only draw stick people, and that doesn't work for the book. So, but she's able to see my vision.
Beautiful. That's fantastic.
So that's she great. Will be doing the illustrations for my third book.
Wow. Well, so great. We will definitely look out for that. All right. Yeah. So we're going to switch gears a little bit now. So Maria, you may know that we are a show for fans and we like to get to know the fan in all our guests. So we have a few questions for Maria, the fan.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So the first question we have is, what drew you to hockey and to be a fan, let's say?
I have been a hockey fan all of my life. I have memories of sitting with my grandmother and my grandfather and my parents every Saturday night in front of sometimes a TV that wasn't color and watching the games. You'll be happy to know that I am a diehard Leaf fan. I have been all of my life. It's very, very painful sometimes, I know. And I remember the Toronto-Montreal rivalries, which I absolutely loved. So when I went to high school, I'm the eldest of three. My parents are immigrants. When I went to an all-girl, I went to Madonna, I went to an all-girl high school, and the day I found out that there was a girls' hockey team, I was elated. I came running home and I said to my parents, there's a hockey team and I want to play on the girls' team. And my parents said, no.
Mm. Yeah, that's actually a familiar story.
No.
Yeah.
No. Girls don't do this.
Right.
So I often kick myself for not questioning and not fighting back. But I followed my brother, who is 6 years younger than myself. I went to all of his games. I went to his outdoor practices at 7 o'clock in the morning. I managed every single one of my children's hockey teams. Two girls and a boy, all three played hockey. Mm-hmm. I've got a 40-year-old that played hockey when girls didn't play hockey. Mm-hmm. I managed all of their teams for years, and every team they played on, all three of them, I managed all three of them.
Wow. Okay, so my next question was going to be, do you have a favorite hockey team? But you've already mentioned that you're a Leaf fan. So who were your favorite players then on the Leafs growing up?
Okay, so I'm older than you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm 66. So my favorite was Johnny Bower. Mm-hmm. And I had the absolute pleasure of meeting Mr. Bower with my association with Geraldine, because Geraldine and Johnny Bower's daughter, Cindy Bower, are very, very close friends.
Okay.
So Johnny Bower was one of them. Daryl Sittler is another one. Tiger Williams is another one. The list goes on and on. Lanny McDonald. I have many. Boreas Salming. Just so many.
Yeah. So since you mentioned Boreas Salming,
yes.
What is your impression, or how do you feel about what he's going through right now?
It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I have a close friend who's also going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a very debilitating and very devastating disease. But I was happy to see that the Toronto Maple Leafs honored him. Lots of tears, lots of Kleenexes.
Yeah.
You know, and Daryl standing next to him and helping him raise his hand.
Oh, that was the thing that broke my heart.
Yeah.
You know, having such close friends there that,
His mind still understood, but his body was not able to do what, you know, to raise his arm.
All right. So our last Q&A question, Chris, do you want to take it away?
Oh, yeah. So were you involved in other sports as a kid? Like, I guess you mentioned, you watched your brother or your son play hockey and that, but was there other sports that you were interested in when you were a kid?
No. And I'll tell you why.
That's easy.
You know, I'll watch the odd baseball game, but everything compared to hockey for me is too slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too slow. I'm, you know, I love the game. I love everything about it. And so the answer to that is no.
Okay. All right. So fair enough. All right. Well, thank you so much, Maria. So
if I may, before we leave,
yes,
if people are interested in purchasing the book,
I was just going to ask you to wrap up. Please let us know. Currently, you've already mentioned what you have in the works for the third book, but please do let our listeners know where they can find your books.
If they simply go to thereoncewasagirl.ca,
mm-hmm.
It will give them options to purchase at, it can be purchased at Amazon, some bookstores, but the easiest way, I think, is just through Amazon.
Okay.
And they've got both books listed there.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, I'd say within maybe, the next year or so, there'll be a third one for Cassie. And then
fantastic.
I've got number four lined up as well, but I won't
awesome.
Tell you who that is.
No, we will save that scoop for another time. So
Okay. Definitely
we reserve the right to have you on to talk about that when the time comes as well. But we thank you so much for joining us today, Maria. And with the holidays around the corner, we hope copies of your books will find themselves under the trees of many aspiring young hockey players. And of course, we wish you continued success with the series.
Thank you so very much for having me, ladies. I really, really enjoyed it.
It was a pleasure.
The pleasure was mine, and I hope that at some time we will speak again.
Absolutely. So thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we want to thank Maria for taking the time to come on the show to talk about her book series and highlighting the story of a couple of Canadian women who are legends of the game and Hockey Hall of Famers, Angela James and Geraldine Heaney.
And as Maria mentioned, she is working on her third book on in the series, and this is a story of Cassie Campbell Pascal. So look out for that one. And if you have any young hockey players on your Christmas list, definitely go out and get her books. As she said, the easiest place you can find them is on Amazon.
Yeah, and it's right. girls or boys, doesn't matter. She mentioned that in the interview too, and it's just great to find out more about these Canadian women who have made such a difference in the game of hockey. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on now just to look at the upcoming games for the Leafs. So in the next week, they head to Dallas on Tuesday, and then they come home for a couple of games versus the Kings and the Flames. The return of Naz for a second time. He hasn't been doing too well
in a different jersey this time.
Yes. Yeah. He hasn't been doing too well, but lately he started off, they were on fire, but I don't know what's happened to Calgary and the Kings. I haven't really paid attention to them much. I know they have that Trevor Zegras on Anaheim.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they have. Drew Doughty, he always has something. Yeah. All the media goes to him for a comment, but they're doing okay. And then Dallas is the big one really because of, with the point streak that both Mitch and Jason Robertson have going. Mm-hmm. They're one behind each other, so it should be a good week there.
Mm-hmm. And then following the week, they play the Ducks before heading out on the road again for a couple of Metropolitan Division games versus the Rangers and the Capitals. So, the Rangers, they're kind of not doing that great. And Capitals also, like, there's a lot of teams that are kind of sort of in a little bit of a mediocre rut.
Yeah, right now.
Like, not doing horrible, but not doing great, you know, like, haven't found their stride yet.
I think with the Rangers, it's mostly to do with Shesterkin not basically covering up for all the mistakes, let's just say, that they are making, and whereas last year he was. The Capitals have lots of injuries. I mean, not to make excuses, but, I mean, I guess Tom Wilson has been out for quite a while. And not to say that Tom Wilson's going to make a huge difference, but still he is a
presence.
But,
you know, he's definitely one of those guys that is kind of like the soul of the team kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I think that it does make a difference having him out of the lineup, kind of like it is with us in a way, you know, when Muzzin's not in.
Right.
We are missing a little something there, you know. So
yeah,
that's kind of similar.
Yeah. And then the Ducks, like I said, a few minutes ago with Trevor Zegras, he's really the, if he tries one of those Michigan things or something, like they're I think in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes as well with some of the bottom feeders of the league. So we'll see what they got for us. We didn't play well against them when we were down there. So those are the points. Again, those are the games that you have to win. You have to get the 2 points for that. We're keeping track of that for the end of the season, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So the moment you listeners have all been waiting for, the announcement of our 2022 holiday giveaway. And here it is. One lucky person is going to win a pair of Leaf tickets for the game on January 23rd versus the New York Islanders. And to Woo-hoo! To win the tickets, you do have to be a resident of Ontario. So we'll have to say that. We will also be giving a second prize of a Tim Hortons gift card.
That's right. So this is a big one, boys and girls. So to win the tickets, all you have to do is write a review about our show on whatever podcast app you use and let us know what you like about our show and your favorite episode and why. So if you don't listen to us on an app or if the app you use doesn't offer a review option, you can email us also at ladiestalkinleafs. That's LadiesTalkin. leafs@gmail.com. And again, tell us what you like about our show, your favorite episode, and why. And we will review all the entrants and randomly select a winner. And we look forward to reading a few of them on our show as well. So the deadline to enter is December 31st. The complete details of how to enter our holiday giveaway will be posted on all our social media outlets.
Yeah, and we're just going to give you a help you out a little bit with some basic instructions for Apple Podcasts or iTunes, as it was called previously. In order to find the review section, your first thing to do, you go to our show listing where all of our episodes come up, and then you scroll almost to the bottom and just below the episode listing, that's where you'll see a section that says ratings and reviews. And you just click on review and you put in the review. So feel free, obviously, to give us a rating too, 5-star, we hope. But in order to enter for the chance to win the pair of Leaf tickets, you have to choose the option to write a review. And as Syl mentioned before, you got to, I guess, tell us what you like about our show, your favorite episode, and why.
So we look forward to hearing from you again, and we will be posting the details on our holiday giveaway social media posts in the next few days.
Yeah, so be sure to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we have videos from Leaf Games and our recent trip to Carolina. And our handle there, YouTube has handles now too, so it's at LTL1917.
And as always, you can find us by visiting our Ko-fi page as well at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there, and if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. And you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
Thank you to our healthcare workers and first responders for everything they do. They're working very hard. This flu bug has hit us now, so get your flu shot, people, and yeah, and just stay safe and healthy and enjoy December.
And get out there and get writing those reviews. Yeah. And as always, thanks for listening. And until next time, go Leafs, go!
Leafs, go.
Do you believe?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.